The title of today's message is Let Us Go On to Perfection, and we find that, and it's taken from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6 in verse 1. We read, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or of doctrines of baptism and the laying on of hands and resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Let us go on, therefore, let us go on unto perfection. The will of God for every believer is to be spiritually mature. Or as it's written in our text today, let us go on unto perfection. Now, we've already established a few times in our study that the word perfection in this verse is the word, Greek word, which means the state of more intelligence, completeness, or maturity. As believers, then, we must always seek to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must be seeking a complete knowledge and being spiritually mature. And in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, we find this written, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." The will of God is that we would walk in a way that is worthy of the Lord. That is, that we not lose our way and finish off course. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. The will of God is that we be fruitful. That is, that we would be faithful and we would be partakers of Christ. That's Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. The will of God is that we would grow in the knowledge of God. That's Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 through chapter 6. Verse 1. Or to put it another way, we must grow in the faith. That's Hebrews chapter 2. We must hold fast to our confidence, our joy, and our hope. That's Hebrews chapter 3. We must seek to make Christ the desire of our hearts. And that is Hebrews chapter 4. Now, how do we arrive at spiritual maturity? How do we go on to perfection? How do we go on to completeness, to maturity, to having a higher intelligence and understanding of who Jesus Christ is? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, "...hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." Chapter 2 and verse 3, "...having so great salvation." Chapter 3 and verse 1, "...consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him." Chapter 4 and verse 14, "Seeing that we have such a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession." Spiritual maturity is possible because as believers, our great salvation has given to us everything that's necessary. God has given us His Word. God has given us His Spirit. God has given us the example of Jesus Christ. And 2 Peter puts it this way in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, unto them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Now underline that, "to them that have obtained like precious faith with us." This means everything that follows in 1 Peter or in 2 Peter is written for everyone that has the same foundation of faith that Peter has. That is righteousness through Jesus Christ as Savior. That means it's for you and me today if we have this same like precious faith as Peter had. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, again, through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by the great and precious promises of God, ye might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How do we go on to spiritual maturity? Because as believers in Jesus Christ, God, by his divine power, that is the Holy Spirit, has given to us the knowledge of his person, and he's given to us his precious promises, the Word of God. And through these, we become partakers of the divine nature, which is Hebrews chapter 4. Certainly, this is equal to spiritual maturity, becoming partakers of the divine nature and growing in grace and adding on to our faith. We must arrive at spiritual maturity for the glory of God and for the good of others. You can say, okay, I understand how to get there, but why is it so important? Why should we arrive at spiritual maturity? Why should we go on to perfection? For the glory of God and for the good of others. Now, there are five dangers mentioned regarding spiritual maturity in the letter to the Hebrews. In our text today, we find the third danger. We've already looked at the first two, forgetting what we've heard and drifting off course in chapter 2 and verse 1. And then in chapter 4, being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin and moving ourselves away from God. And today we find the third danger in verse 11 of chapter 5, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. The third danger is becoming dull of hearing, the danger of being dull of hearing. The author is saying that there is so much more that he would like to say about Jesus as our great high priest, but these believers were not ready to hear it yet. They were not ready to move on because they were slow of hearing. He's saying to them, there is so much more that I would like to say, but I can't because you're just not getting it yet. You're not there. You're not getting what I'm saying. Now, I'm sure any of us with children can understand. I have children. They're much older now, so it's much better because they're more mature. But I can't tell you how many times it seems like you have to say the same thing over and over again to your children because they're just not getting it. They're not hearing you. They're being dull of hearing. It seems like we've had to say the same thing to our children a million times. And this is the same thing that the writer of Hebrews is saying in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 2. Up to this point, the writer has felt the need to repeat the same thing over again in different ways because these believers did not yet have a good understanding of what was being taught. He couldn't go on to deeper things. And he reiterates this for us again and gives us example in chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. He says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason whereof he ought, as for the people also, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as of Aaron." And in this passage, the author is reaffirming and repeating three facts regarding Jesus as high priest that he's already stated before in the letter. In verses 1 and 2, every high priest is taken among men. Why? So that he can be compassionate on them. Now, the high priest had to be a man with the capacity to understand the temptations and trials that mankind faces in order that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest to God. This is the same thing, almost identical, and brings us back to what he's already said in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. where he says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, flesh and blood, become a man. Why? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." And he's also said it in chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The author is saying the same thing here in a different way, because they were not yet understanding the humanity of Jesus Christ and his ability to sympathize with us and empathize with us and feel our infirmities through his humanity. And then the second thing that he reaffirms here in the beginning of chapter 5, we find in the last part of verse 1, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. In verse 5 and 6, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." So what he's saying here is Jesus was ordained of God to be the great high priest. That is, as the one who would make the perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world. Every high priest in chapter 5, verse 1, is taken among men and is ordained of men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices to sin. But Jesus was called of God to be the eternal, to be the great, to be the perfect high priest, to make the perfect sacrifice and offering for sin. And this is a repetition of what was said in chapter 1 and verse 3, when he had by himself purged our sins. In chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." And then in verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Why? To make reconciliation for the sins of the people." So he's repeating again that Jesus was ordained of God to be the great high priest, as the one who would make the perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world. And then in chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, he repeats the third thing up to this point, because they're being dull of hearing. They're not getting it. He says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. This is a repetition of what was said in chapter 2 in verse 10. We've already read this. "For it became him of whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing unto many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect." And we've read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, where Jesus is called the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, that put their faith, that trust him. Notice verse 9, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." That term, being made perfect, is the same word used in chapter 2 and verse 10, and it has the idea of that which is necessary to accomplish or to bring to an end, or to bring to a fulfillment, bring to the fulfillment of an event. So it means the humanity, that is the incarnation of Jesus Christ and the suffering of Jesus Christ, were absolutely necessary to complete or to bring to a finish our salvation. Without Jesus Christ as the great high priest who had offered himself as the perfect sacrifice, there would not be salvation. His suffering, his human suffering, his condescension were absolutely necessary to complete our salvation. There was no other way. Therefore, the author is repeating the same things in different ways about the person and work of Jesus Christ because his readers were dull of hearing. They were not getting it yet. They were not understanding fully what he was trying to get them to see about who Christ is. Now, we've said that there are five dangers mentioned in the letter of the Hebrews, and we've already noted two up to this point. Chapter 2 and verse 1 and verse 3 that says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard because it's possible to let them slip from our mind. That is to neglect them, to forget the wonder of our salvation and lose our way as believers. And then in chapter 3, verse 12, there's the danger and the obstacle most common among all of us, believer or unbeliever, but I think particularly as believers, this is our greatest obstacle, is unbelief. There is the danger that we can distance ourselves from God because of our unbelief relationally. Notice again in chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, where it says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, how being not all came out of Egypt by Moses. Once again, there's the admonition to hear the voice of the Lord and not to ignore it as the nation of Israel did. Now in verse 11 of chapter 5, we find the third danger or the third obstacle. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. This is the same danger, almost the same obstacle as the other two. It was a problem of hearing. It was a problem of hearing. They were letting slip what they had heard in chapter 2. They were forgetting about, ignoring, taking for granted what they had heard about Jesus. Same thing in chapter 3. They were not hearing what God said and hardening their heart. It is the danger of hearing. The writer wants to say more here. He wants to tell us more about Jesus. He wants these believers to have a deeper understanding about who Jesus is, but he can't because they're not listening, because they won't hear. It's a problem with hearing the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. It says, but it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things. Now notice this, that are freely given to us by God. We've already said, because of our great salvation, God has given to us everything that is necessary to grow and to be spiritually mature in the faith. God has given us his Spirit and his Word. God wants to reveal himself to us in a deeper way. He wants to reveal to us, the freely give to us, the deep things of God. And when we're dull of hearing, it becomes an obstacle for our spiritual maturity. Hear the voice of God. Hear the voice of God. So we have the danger, which is being dull of hearing, and then we have the result of being dull of hearing in chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. Back in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, and this is the result of being dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There are two results of being dull of hearing in this passage. First, note in chapter in verse 12, it says, for the time ye ought to be teachers. You ought to be teachers. The first result of spiritual immaturity is being dull of hearing is spiritual immaturity. These believers were still immature. They were still children and had need that someone teach them instead of being teachers. They needed milk instead of meat. And so the first result of being dull of hearing is immaturity. And the second result of being dull of hearing is being incapable. These believers should have had the ability and the spiritual maturity to teach the foundational truths of Jesus Christ to someone else. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, but because they were still immature, they were incapable to teach somebody else. Spiritual immaturity prohibits us from producing fruit for the Lord in any way. There comes a certain point in a life where every believer should have the capacity to teach the fundamental truths of the faith to someone else. And if we never arrive at spiritual maturity, it's impossible to produce spiritual fruit for the Lord in any sense. The result of being dull of hearing, remaining spiritually immature, and being incapable, being fruitless, not producing anything for the Lord. And we see this in two ways in the scriptures, unfruitfulness. First, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Or we'll begin in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled unto us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Every person in Christ that comes to Christ and is reconciled back to God, God has given them the ministry. Whether you want it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you like it or not, God as a believer has given to you the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to it, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, the person in Christ, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God has committed to you and me the ministry, the word of reconciliation, the gospel, the thing that reconciles man back to God. How can we ever share the message of reconciliation if we don't know it well personally? If we are immature and we have not gone on to spiritual maturity and we've not increased in our knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done in his divinity and humanity and his work on the cross and as our great high priest, our intercessor, how can we share the word of reconciliation? How can we take it and reconcile men back to God if we're immature and don't know that message well? Being dull of hearing, being immature, makes us incapable of evangelization, of spiritual fruit for the Lord. And then it also prevents us not only from evangelizing, but also from edifying. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 now. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22 says, in whom, that is in Christ, all the building, the church of God, the house of the living God, fitly framed, grows together unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded, notice again, together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The church exists for the believer, and therefore we have a responsibility towards each other to take the care for ourselves. We have a responsibility to edify each other, to build each other together, to sanctify each other. Now the question is, how can we possibly edify and strengthen each other if we're still immature? If I'm a baby Christian and you're a baby, how can we possibly strengthen, edify, encourage, and build each other? So you see, in every sense, when we are dull of hearing, it's impossible to produce spiritual fruit for the Lord. It's impossible to evangelize, and it's impossible to edify and grow the church in love. And that's what the author is getting these people to see in chapter 5. They're immature. The problem is they're dull of hearing, and the result is they're incapable and immature of producing fruit and going on to perfection. So we've seen the problem, we've seen the result, and now the author tells us the way in which we become dull of hearing. Here's the cause of it all in chapter 5 and verse 14. He says, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, that are mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We become dull of hearing, if we can say it this way, when we're spiritually lazy and we do not exercise our spiritual intellects. Even those who by reason of their senses exercised, they don't use their senses, they don't use their spiritual minds to understand what to understand and grow spiritually. Now, when I was between 12 and 17 years old, we lived in Europe. We are currently now missionaries in the city of Pisa. And when I was about 15 years old, we lived in another city very close to Pisa named Tirrenia. And I was on the track team for the high school there. And during that period, I would, every morning from where we lived to my school was about 10 kilometers. And every morning for 2 years or so, about 6:30 in the morning, I would run that 10 kilometers every day to school with my backpack and my books and my clothes. I would take a shower and then start my school day. I did that to build up my resistance for long distance running. And sometimes on Sundays, I would run 30 kilometers for my endurance. The only reason I was able to run 30 kilometers on Sunday is because I ran 10 kilometers every morning. If I tried right now to run 30 kilometers tomorrow, it would be impossible. Why? Because I haven't been exercising those muscles. I haven't been keeping my endurance up, and they have become weak. My legs are no longer used to that type of hardship. They're not used to being used in that way. And so therefore, I could never run 30 kilometers tomorrow if I wasn't first exercising myself to get to that point. And that's exactly what the author is talking about here in the spiritual sense. To grow spiritually, we must exercise our spiritual muscles. We must not become dull of hearing, or we become dull of hearing when we ignore the Bible and we don't think about, we don't contemplate the profundity of who Jesus Christ is. We don't consider our great high priest. We don't think about his example of faithfulness. We don't think about his humanity and his divinity and all that he's done for us. Now, a person can say, "Hey, well, that's fine. I don't like to think about the deep things of God. I don't like to spend that much time contemplating those heavy things from the Word of God." A person that speaks like that will always be immature in the faith. If we don't want to be immature and weak in the faith, then we must study the Word of God. We must contemplate. We must use our senses and to discern what is good and what is right in the Word of God, and to ask the Holy Spirit of God as we contemplate the person of Jesus, as we've already seen several times in the book of Hebrews, consider him, think about him, meditate upon who he is, and we do that through the Word of God, his precious promises. God has spoken to us, and we ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds, to give us that understanding. Now, there's nothing wrong with watching a football game. I like football. But if we're going to spend 3 hours watching a football game, we should be just as ready to spend 3 hours contemplating the person of Jesus Christ, thinking about who he is, studying the Word of God. And if we are more ready to watch a football game and we're willing to give 3 hours to that, but we won't give 30 minutes to to the Word of God, we're always going to be immature, and you're always going to be incapable. We have to grow in our knowledge of God. We have to grow in the faith through studying of the Word of God, in contemplating the person of Jesus, so that we don't become dull of hearing, so that we don't remain immature. And as the author writes in chapter 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection.